Acts chapter 1. Verse number 6. Brother Jimmy John and I got together. We met at the throne. Wherever he was at, in his closet, and wherever I was in my closet, we met together at the throne, and we both come up with this. Amen? I'm going to preach on the church after. Hallelujah. I have a brother. Now look, I didn't even know this word till last October. Well, I mean, I may have heard it, but I sure didn't use it because I didn't know what it meant. I have a trilogy set of servants. A trilogy. Yeah. Some of you shaking hands. Most of you looking like I was. I preached Brother Bill Wyatt's meeting this last October, the Keswick, and for the third time in a row, and I was a little nervous. You know, you kind of run out of stuff, or you think you will. But I preached on the church, and I put myself under obligation the very first morning. And boy, that's dangerous. But I said, I'm going to preach on the church this week. I'm going to preach on the church before, the church between. And that's what you really covered last night. On you don't know how much of my tape you read last night. And I know you haven't heard it, but I have that on tape out there to let you know that, I ain't trying to justify. I'm just telling you how God works. And I preached on the church before, the church between, and the church after. And I wasn't talking about the rapture. I was talking about after Pentecost. I didn't have that much nerve to preach Oklahoma doctrine up there. But anyhow, I have here a little bit. And what was so funny is some of the guys I had standing up with me when I got on it. And boy, they gave me a rough time. They didn't hear nothing. At the kitchen, all they talked about was the last 2 minutes of my message. That's all they could remember. But today I want to talk about the church after. And on that trilogy, we do have that set of tapes out there. It's not necessarily a commercial, but I'll tell you, it is a study. And it was a lot of study. I promise you that. There are men that teach. You've got one sitting right out here. And I know he's a local boy to you. But he's Brother Dwayne Gallagher to the rest of us. The day speaker at the major camp meetings. Powerful night speaker, but a wonderful day speaker. Stand and profoundly declare to us the Word of God. Man. So there is time put in these. Matter of fact, I actually am using notes today because of a study that I've done, and I'm going to actually be reading some things that I wrote down. I guess if you wrote it, it's all right to read it, isn't it? I hope that's right. But I normally don't use notes. I normally don't try to. I flow along with what I feel as I go, and I will today. If I may leave all of this, notes are hard for me to use. I know it's easy for folks to use them. Brother Savage said, man, I'd hate for somebody to take my notes. If you've ever been around Brother Savage, you've seen his Bible, you know he got a little bit of a Bible and a whole bunch of notes. But it's always powerful stuff, isn't it? It's good stuff. All right. Acts chapter 1. And boy, wasn't that good on the power. And how that after. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let's read the Bible, verses 1. Acts 1, verses 6 through 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You don't need to turn, but Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I want to talk today about the church after Pentecost. Matter of fact, I titled this, The Church After Wings. It's dangerous to give that part of the title up front, but wings are a symbol, Bible symbol, of power. God spoke of how He brought Israel out of Egypt on high on wings of an eagle, like eagle's wings, brought you to Myself. And so I want to preach today about this. Now, I wrote down, of course, the definitions of power. I don't need to talk about that. We may have looked in different places, but we come up with the same thing. But we need to have power in our churches. Actually, and I didn't know this when I done that study on the church. I didn't know this. Matter of fact, I don't guess till yesterday. Somebody said that there was an old preacher or maybe a writer that made the statement and said the church has stopped somewhere between the Garden Tomb and Pentecost. I didn't know that when I preached my message on the church between, and I preached on between the Garden Tomb and the Upper Room. The church in that space of time, what type of church they were. I'm not going to preach that to you this morning, but here's a little bit of what they were then. They were a doubting church. I don't have time to preach it. They were a closed church. They were a voting church. Hallelujah. Somehow we've got stuck between the Garden Tomb and the Upper Room. We need to take one more step, church. We individuals or body of believers, we need to take one more step. We need to step on across the line that takes us into Pentecost. Amen? You say, but I just don't see the need of being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's a reason why folks are not seeing that need. They're not seeing enough demonstration of the power of those that are filled with the Holy Ghost. When our children were lost, they find both of them lost at the same time. Ron for 9 years, Ronell 3.5 years. Out in sin, buddy, that'll drive you crazy. That's right. I don't care how hard you preach that if you live right, your children will be saved. It didn't help me. I mean, you didn't hurt me near like I was hurting myself. Fighting myself, especially when they'd ask me to teach about family and home and raising kids. My kids lost. Felt like Gary Hampton when they asked him to teach on fasting. That's what he said one time. He told me that. But anyway, the church needs to take... So our kids told us, they said, we're tired of hearing it, Daddy. We don't want holiness. They both said that. If we ever get back in church, it'll not be in holiness. We don't want that. And they tried a bunch of other stuff. We kept a praying. One day, Sister Connie said to me, she said, Ronnie, I feel like the Lord told me something. I said, tell me what it is. She said, I was praying and the Lord said, quit telling them about holiness. Quit telling them about how to live. Quit telling them about where to go to church. Tell them where you've been and what's been happening in your revivals. We got to going home telling them, Ron, you remember old so-and-so? Yeah. Oh, he got saved the other night. Boy, that boy prayed and got saved. How's Ron can't say, I don't want to hear that. I never... Isn't it a sign how God knows things? Don't you wish you'd have thought of those things? Huh? He knows how to do it. We Ronell, you remember this church? Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, of course, I remember that church. Oh, Ronell, the other night, oh, brother and sister so-and-so got such a blessing. Their hands in the air, and I'd see Ronell get busy doing dishes or cooking, or she'd turn her back on Mama. Well, you know what? The Holy Ghost was a-working. They told us after they got saved, they said, I'll tell you what, Daddy, it wasn't how you live necessarily that brought us back. It was what you was telling us about God. So I've decided what my son needs and what your children needs and my daughter needs is to see me full of the Holy Ghost. They need to see the power of God in my life. They need to see it working. They need to see it ministering. They need to see it. Am I right? The question asked here is, when are you going to come, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That question was before Pentecost. It was never asked again. Hallelujah. We are worried about restoring the kingdom to Israel. We're worried about staying in the kingdom of God. We're worried about the kingdom that is instead of the one that's not even to be until you're ready. That's in God's power. But there's one thing that's in our power, and that is to stay here until we get the power that is coming from heaven. Endued means to be clothed. Clothed with the Holy Ghost. Clothed with the power of God. Jesus, the Bible said, the Father did not give him the Spirit by measure. Hallelujah. Now, if you can't interpret what that's a saying, you need to study some more. The Lord did not receive the power by measure. He was the... Oh, I hope you understand me this morning. When know that I'm Trinity. And if you want me to preach on it, I could. But I'm not right now. But I will. I mean, I always am. But He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Brother, we got the love, 100% love of the Father. We got the 100% holiness of God when Christ came down in the form of flesh. And we got on the day of His baptism, when the Spirit descended as a dove lighting upon Him, He received the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but wait a minute, He was born of the Spirit. Yes, He was born of the Spirit. The Bible declares that. But He also needed to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, what a representation. If the Son of God on earth, we're not talking about living in heaven. We're talking about living on earth. And to live on earth, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Can you go to heaven? Well, we're not talking about heaven. We're talking about earth. Yes, you can live in heaven. Can you live on earth? You've got to live on earth first. And to live on earth, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on the church. So they were born of the Spirit. Receive you the Holy Ghost. They were born of the Spirit, just like Adam was born of the breath of God. But they still needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, now let me see where I am. Well, he said, let me stay here just a minute. This church, they never voted again after Pentecost. You want me to stay there a minute, Brother Dave? They never voted again. They put up their lots. Amen. And the next lots we read about, they were selling lots and giving the money to the church. But never again. No. Not the church. What do they? They got together and said, it seems good to the Lord and the Holy Ghost and to us that we do it this way. I think that's what we need. We can vote all we want to. I'm against it, but we can. And it'll not change a thing. How about what God wants? How about what what heaven wants. Whatever happened to, I'm here on duty because the Holy Ghost sent me. And on the other end, the Spirit's already working. And here you are because the power of the Holy Ghost has sent you. They were a fixed church. A fixed church. The reason a lot of people don't have the Holy Ghost is they're not fixed. They don't have a fixed church. The tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Three times it is called the church at Jerusalem. They may be scattered persecution by persecution, but the home church of the Jews was Jerusalem. Fixed church. I've got to where I just don't even ask folks anymore. I mean, once in a while I may slip and do it, but I've just quit asking, where do you go to church? Huh? Because they change every few weeks or months. How about a fixed church? We want old brother George Davis, your grandpa's son, he said, I pastor a moving church. He said, they're moving in this door and moving out that one. A moving church. We've got church people now. They want to vote. They want to come for a while. And they want to straighten everybody out. And they want to go on down the road. I've even had evangelists to tell me, oh, I say, what is your home church? Well, actually, we don't really have one. Well, you don't want to preach for me then, because I believe you got to have a home church. You need to be under subjection to somebody. You need to be under somebody's authority. You need somebody that can check up on you. You need somebody that can walk in your house, turn on your computer, and check the data, and see where you've been, and see what you've been doing. You need somebody that you got to answer to. Somebody that's got the right to check your bedrooms, and your living rooms, and your dining rooms. The church was a fixed church. We want the power. We get the Holy Ghost. We will be a fixed church. Let me go on. I really need my glasses, but I'm a trying. And when he had found him. Now listen, I'm talking about fixed churches. He found him. He brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. This is not Jerusalem church. This is the Antioch church in Syria, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Praise God. What Jerusalem was to the Jews, Antioch was to the Gentiles. I mean, we've got a church. It's the mother church. I'm going to tell you something. We are a church body. I belong to the holiness people. That is my church. I don't shoot holes in it. I don't go across the country running them down. I don't blame them when I can't preach. I mean, I don't get my messages from you, therefore I don't have to have you to preach them. I can use you as a sounding board, but if you don't want to get in, just sit there. Hallelujah. But you might ought to have brought your spurs and a strap to hang on with. Because if God give me the message, he ain't going to require you to make me preach it. He's going to give it to me. The church, when they come to Antioch, we got a church. What are they up there? They're Christian folks. I want the world to look at us and say they're holiness folks. Those people live holiness. Those people live right. If you're not a part of this church, then you're just not a part. But I'd like to invite you in. This was the church after they got filled with the Holy Ghost. On the church before, I preached about the church before Calvary. and what type of church it was. He even went to Acts 7 and got back into the church in the wilderness. Actually just meaning assembly. And how they were a wandering church. Right? But now we're a fixed church. What settled us down? What brought us and what opened the doors? I'm going to get into that a little bit. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before the upper room, we had the doors bolted and locked. But when the Holy Ghost fell, we burst through the doors with a brand new message. The message of Calvary. The message of the old rugged cross. And it had such power that 3,000 people was added to the church. They were a fixed church. They were a filled church. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know what that says. They all spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They were a filled church. Let me see what I said about that. They didn't have to spend all their time trying to keep the saints saved. And I wrote that. All filled with the Holy Ghost and fire and all ready to work for God. Not just feel once, but again and again. Praise God. Boy, Brother Roger, do you mind me using that? I've got to now. You got to let me. Okay, shake your head. Yes. I like to borrow things from my buddies, all right? But I like to have permission when I do. But don't think I won't use that from a former Baptist. This Baptist boy said, was you here? Well, I can't tell you. Who wasn't here yesterday? Raise your hands. I'm a telling you all. Rest of you act like you've never heard this before in your life. But a buddy of mine said it like this. He was raised Baptist. 44 years. Baptist. I told somebody in the fellowship hall about that last night. There was a man moved into an area and started a brand new work and called it the Christian Church. And he was working. He said, well, if I'm going to have a church, I need to have people. So he went around and began to visit. And he knocked on doors. And they got this lady come to the door, and he told her, said, ma'am, I'm a new preacher in town, and I'm here, and I'm starting a church. It's the Christian Church. Their organization, the Christian Church. And he said, I would love to have you and your family come to church. And she said, we won't be there. And he said, well, ma'am, why not? Why wouldn't you give us a chance? She said, sir, I am, and I'm going to use this because it's us, I am Pentecostal. Amen? I am Pentecostal. Holiness. That's easier. I'm holiness. And he said, but ma'am, I'd like to invite you to church and just give us a chance. I am not coming. I'm holiness. She said, my great-grandma was holiness. And my grandma was holiness. And my mama was holiness. And I've been holiness 60-some years. And there ain't nobody going to make a Christian out of me now. My Baptist friend said he was a Baptist for 44 years. Are y'all listening to me this morning? A Baptist for 44 years. But here's what he said. He said as he ended his testimony, how he got the Holy Ghost. And he told his testimony, beautiful testimony. But he said, I hope that he was a Southern Baptist, by the way. And he said, I hope that we're not once filled, always filled. What kind of doctrine have we got? They were filled and filled again and filled again. Your Bible said that over and over. They were a filled church. You don't have to spend your time trying to keep folks in church that's filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to spend your time visiting them and encouraging them to come on that's filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to pamper them and pet them that have the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be good if we had 100% that was filled, and then we could go out and get the others that's not saved filled. They were a filled church after Pentecost, not only in number. Oh, I gotta add something right here. Here's my last high statement. I'm fixed to give it to you. I need what a first time I preached this message, I used it right up front. I can't keep nothing. That's the reason God don't give me nothing till it's time. I'm serious. I come to this camp meeting on Monday. When I come in, pull on Jonesboro area Monday, I had no idea what I was going to be preaching. That scares you, don't it? Look, you invited me. I'll tell you now, since it's over, I had no idea what I was going to be preaching. That's when I preached Bristol, the Monday night at Bristol back in 1977. I talked to some of those other young preachers that preached before, Ronnie Harrison and Jim Wiley and different ones. Jim had his message for weeks or months. Ronnie Harrison, I don't have 6 months. And Gary Hampton always, if he's going to preach it, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just the way I long to be. Gary Hampton knows 6 months in advance normally what he's going to preach at the camp meeting. That's right. If the Lord moves, I got mine at 4:30 that afternoon, preaching to 2,000 people at night. Had no idea what I was going to say. That's right. I'm not like that one fella said, when I get up on Sunday morning, the Lord don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm not that bad, but there are a few times I got up on Sunday morning and wasn't sure what I was going to say. That's right. They were a filled church. I was going to tell something, I forgot what it was. My highlight, yeah, thank you. They were a filled church. If it wasn't for my wife, folks, you just don't know. You really just don't know. I got a half sister, Connie. Leave that on tape, brother Jim. Yeah. I was praying about this message at Brother Wyatt's church. Man, it wasn't even daylight, and I was begging God. I mean, I was a nervous, not nervous about preaching. I don't get nervous in front. You do not make me nervous. But if I have something that I'm supposed to deliver, and I know God gave it to me, I am cautious with the fragility of that I don't misuse that, or I don't drop any of that, or I don't, you understand? And the Lord spoke to me, or dealt with me that morning in the pre-dawn hours, and I got, it might have been 3 o'clock, I don't know, but anyway, I got up and went to my computer, and I put it down on the notes because I had to have it. Now I want you to see my final closing point, and that don't mean I'm quitting. Okay, this is just my closing point. And when I get back to this, you know I'm through. All right. Big does not necessarily mean powerful. Here's what the Lord gave me, I feel like. And this is so elementary that you're going to laugh. You can get as many people on a 747 jet airliner without wings as you can one with wings. Ain't that deep? Huh? Ain't that something? You can get as many people on a 747 jet airliner without wings as you can one with wings. But if you want to go anywhere, if you want to get off the ground, we can get as many people in here without the Holy Ghost. He doesn't take up room. He is the reason we soar. Hallelujah. If all you're interested in is the fellowship, then you don't need wings. Sit out there on the tarmac. Look out the window. Brag to each other about how you got your ticket. Hallelujah. I got a ticket to L.A. And here we are in Chicago. Brother Mike, I got me a ticket to L.A. That ain't Lower Alabama. That's Los Angeles, California. Okay. Got me a ticket to L.A. Brother Jim, and I'm going to L.A. Well, Brother Ronnie, how are you going to get there? Man, I'm on a 747. One of the most powerful jetliners in the people moving industry. Am I right? Man, I've heard about them. I've read about them. You can tell not very much. I've studied about them. And I'm glad to be here. Well, Brother Baker, we got one problem. This church ain't moved in 35 years. We run up and down the tarmac sometime. Is that right? Forget the tarmac. He just killed my famous statement there. What? That is right, ain't it? On a 747 especially, they're not hooked on the body, are they? They're hooked on the wings. Now see, you messed up my whole, I was on a good thought there. So now we're just going to sit still. If all you come for is the food, can we have food? We can have food, and we can have fellowship, and we can run up and down the aisles, and we can holler at each other, and we can shout about the size of our church. But unless there's some big old wings hanging out the side with some engines on it, we ain't a-going nowhere. I said we ain't a-going nowhere. But if by the power of God, the Holy Ghost will come into our church and begin to move us, we'll soar. We will be a church that has power. After. Stand with me. I'm going to quit. Let's give the Lord a praise. I love you, Jesus. 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 Oh, I love you, Jesus. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I wonder how long it's been since your church was filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, we're building churches. We're building some beautiful churches. We got some that'll knock your eyes. Well, that's figure of speech. We got some that'll attract your attention. We got some, and I mean they're beautiful. But unless they have the power of the Holy Ghost moving in their services, they are a 747 jet airliner sitting on the tarmac that can't even move because they don't have any power. Our preacher preached us last night. If we want power, it's going to come after we are filled with the Holy Ghost. So let's get after the power. If the power comes after, I'm going to get after the church needs to be after Pentecost. Well, you ain't getting it all. They were a praying church. They were a daily church. They were a ministering church. It's all in the book of Acts. Ministering church 13 times in Acts it's spoken of that they were a ministering church. Servitude. They worked daily. Most of us work weekly. And most of us work very weekly. Right? They were a daily church. I'm going to do this and I'm quitting. Come on, Sister Connie. Now listen, here's some things about daily. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. One accord daily, in the temple daily, broke bread, that's sacrament, daily. Someone getting saved daily, taught Christ daily, preached daily, ministered daily, searched the scriptures daily. At Athens, Paul disputed daily in the synagogue and daily in the marketplace with anyone who would ask or talk to him. Acts chapter 17, 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the markets daily with them that met with him in Ephesus, in a schoolhouse. He disputed daily for 2 years. And the people always heard the word of God, and they could not stand the power and the wisdom by which the apostles spake. What was the difference? It was after power. It was after power. If my preacher tells me that I'm not going to have any power till I get the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to get after the Holy Ghost so I can have the power. Could we one more time lift our hands and worship Him? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're a pastor, and your church, as what, who said that last night? Was that you, Brother Jimmy John? But that brother's trouble was, yeah, he was trying to build. Well, who was it you said? Wesley said that? D.L. Moody told that young man, you need to build a fire in the pulpit. You're trying to build one in the pews. Hallelujah. My God. Put one, another one wrote one time and said, they're talking about one of the old preachers, two guys was talking, and they said, that man is a flame of fire. Two preachers talking about another one said, he is a flame of fire. And said, you and I are just little sick room capers. That word caper was a little lamp, little burning candle in a sick room. They never put it out. Little caper. And that one said to the other, why is he such a flame of fire? And you and I are just little sick room capers. And the other preacher looked at him and said, God put a big wick in him, brother. God put a big wick in him. And I like to watch him burn. I want to watch him burn, don't you? But the church will be stirred. My church will be stirred. The churches I preach for will be stirred. If they can see something in the pulpit that makes them want it in their souls. I'm through telling people how and what they need to do. I'd like to give a little demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Paul said, I had the ecstasy. I could have talked to you, but I come in demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. Let's lift our hands and worship as Sister Connie sings. Build a fire, preacher. Build a fire, deacon. Build a fire, Sunday school teacher. Build a fire, singer.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now.
You need the Holy Ghost. Come on, the altar right now. Stand up. I want you to stand up when you get here. If you need the Holy Ghost, my buddy Andrew, first one in the altar. Stand up. If you need the Holy Ghost.